Well, yeah, not from Americans, that is, but so they can have jobs and they still pay taxes and continue to live, I would say, an ethical life. And
Yeah. And so when you see cases like states that have implemented anti-immigrant legislation, like Georgia, South Carolina, where these laws are meant to drive immigrants out, and these states where there's a big agricultural sector, you see that the agricultural industry is affected negatively because all of a sudden you have lots of immigrants leaving these positions, and nobody wants to work them because of low wages, because of various things that employers do in order to employ cheap labor, to employ immigrants.
So, in your reading of the coverage of immigration, where was it assumed that the immigrants came from?
So most of the time it was assumed that immigrants came from Mexico, and we actually learned that the same amount of people coming in from Mexico are actually leaving the United States back to Mexico as well. There's actually a net growth of zero in that aspect. And actually, immigrants are actually coming most from Asia.
But in the coverage, it looked like there was a preponderance of Mexican immigrants, and other immigrants from other countries were pretty much ignored in that.
Yes.
Okay. One other thing that y'all had mentioned was that immigrants were talked about only as people who were here, quote unquote, illegally, people who were here without documents. Want to say anything about that?
Yeah, so a lot of times they were talked about in that way. But the reality is that their immigrants does not mean undocumented immigrants. It does not mean that at all. There are immigrants here with different sorts of visas. They are immigrants who are US citizens but still identify as immigrants because they were born in another country or came from another country. So the in a lot of the rhetoric that we saw, it was automatically immigrants. They can't pay taxes, and therefore they shouldn't be in the United States, when in reality, a lot of immigrants are becoming US citizens.
So, in the process of not talking about immigrants and their experiences, they also talked about immigrants in ways that are full of myths, as I'm hearing you. And they also talked about immigrants in these kind of global terms, which might not have even reflected reality for many or most, but that's how. And we've certainly seen that kind of coverage of LGBTQ people as well, and another set of parallels. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU Denver Boulder Radio. I'm Glenda Russell, and our guests on Outsources tonight are Adriana Portillo, Jessica Martinez, and Alfonso Galinda. They are all students from MASP at CU, and we're discussing their research project that looks at anti-immigrant media coverage and how that coverage looks a lot like anti-LGBT media coverage, especially during election times. Now, did you all study what kind of impact this sort of rhetoric might have on immigrants?
We didn't necessarily impact, or we didn't necessarily read on the impact of the rhetoric, but when reading these media sources, when reading these articles, we got a sense of the impact. So we didn't explicitly like go out there and survey people, but we saw the impacts. We read articles talking about the Trump effect. We saw articles about talking, about all these people being impacted negatively by the rhetoric.
What kinds of things did you see in those articles?
I would say we saw a lot of fear and anger, especially of not just immigrants, but of LGBTQ community as well.
So it's hard to be talked about in dehumanized terms, and it makes people scared of what might happen. It makes them angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also on the other side, it seems to like the problem stems from either xenophobia or homophobia, whereas they fear what they don't understand. Therefore, if they don't really understand any of these people, since a lot of these articles and media sources weren't of the perspective of an immigrant or minority, then it makes sense because it's easy to make those generalizations.
Now, you used the words homophobia and xenophobia. A lot of our listeners probably are familiar with homophobia as fear and other negative attitudes toward people who are in the LGBT community. What's xenophobia?
So xenophobia is the fear of another person, of a person from another country, which has also become a problem during this political race because of the rhetoric that's in the media and how people kind of choose to believe the media, even though they might not think so.
And Jessica, you mentioned something called the Trump effect. You had read some material, I gather. What was that in reference to?
It's in reference to how the rhetoric that this candidate has been putting out there, how children especially have been impacted negatively. The word Trump has become a symbol to portray an anti-immigrant perspective. When you you hear stories of children in or kids at like basketball games, and normally in a basketball game, the players play this play where they build a wall to block the other team, and you hear in the media how the opposing team's spectators will chant "build that wall" in order to distract the opposing team. And a lot of times this is done when the other team is composed with other children who might be identified, quote unquote, as an immigrant.
So this was in reference to a survey of almost 2,000 teachers who reported these kinds of incidents about the impact of this rhetoric on their students around the country.
Yes, and it's an impact of the students being fearful, and it's also in like irrational fear. You have students who are African American who are fearing deportation, when in reality that is impossible. You know, but the fear is so widespread that these children are having these emotions, and it's very dangerous.
Okay, so you're telling us a lot about what kind of impact this sort of rhetoric can have on people. Oftentimes, of course, immigrants, and sometimes people who are not even immigrants. Did you study or did you learn anything about how to reduce some of these negative impacts in immigrants and family members of immigrants and people who are in that larger community?
We did. We saw and we kind of came up with a list of ways that people can counteract that and kind of not to take it in as much, because like she was saying, children can take in the rhetoric a lot just because they are children. They're not really exposed to much more other than what is seen on TV or what they hear their parents talking about. But as you grow older, you can kind of see, actually, maybe that's not true, or I don't want to take that in. You kind of have a little bit more agency. And so we saw that you can think about the family that you have and the community you have, the culture that you have, and just be very aware of that and be proud of that. And you can also notice that you have allies that are going to help you kind of counteract that and know that you're not, that you're a person, not an issue.
And I imagine if you hear a lot of rhetoric that targets you as a group, we certainly have seen this in the research on LGBT people, if you hear a lot of rhetoric that targets you as a group, it's very easy not to notice where your allies are. It's much easier to start noticing where the danger is, and so you lose touch with the fact that they're allies, and yet knowing that they're allies has some real benefits.
Yes.
Want to talk about those benefits?
Well, some benefits like that is... you can know that you're not alone, like we have already said, but some people, immigrants may not have as much power just because kind of the structure that there is, but if you have allies, they may have more power that they can stand up for you and things like that. So I think that's how it is. I don't know how Jessica and Alfonso think.
It's very important to understand that xenophobia is not the problem of the immigrants. The immigrants are not xenophobic. Just like homophobia, it's not the problem of members who identify as part of the LGBTQ community. They're not homophobic. It's the other people who are homophobic. So it's very important to identify your allies so you can address the issue, so that, you know, like, you can help them make a change in their lives. And it's also really important to understand that the responsibility doesn't lie in one specific group. It's mm-hmm. not the responsibility of the immigrants to fix the issue. It's not the responsibility of the allies to fix the issue. It's an interaction, and it's a lot of listening and a lot of opening your mindset to other opinions and experiences.
Mm-hmm. So part of what you said it's really interesting, because you're saying the problem isn't in you. It's around you.
Yes.
But it affects you, and you have to deal with it.
Yes.
And there are various ways of dealing with it, like calling it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing you have allies. Adriana, you mentioned a few minutes ago the importance of participating in your culture. And why does participating in your culture and finding the strength in your culture help, do you think?
Well, I think it helps because you're able to see that, especially if other people come, like family members, you can see that other people are actually kind of doing what you're doing. And so mm-hmm. it can make you actually feel like you do belong here. You're mm-hmm. not from a totally different planet or anything like that. You do belong here. And this is your home, despite what everybody else is saying.
Mm-hmm. So part of what you're talking about, you know, I'm a psychologist, as you all know, is being active copers. Finding things that you can do that actually change the situation rather than being just sitting there passively taking it in. And yes. part of that means looking at what the myths are and knowing what the realities are.
Yeah, so it's very important we mentioned the myths, but we were also mentioning the reality. You know, it's important to identify those. So when you're reading stuff, it's like, it's important to be like, okay, like this is what this article is saying, but is it true? You know, and questioning the media. The media isn't always telling the truth, and it's a lot of times they're portraying facts in a very biased way. So it's important to be questioning all the time and not just consuming whatever is being put out there.
And mm-hmm. that's exactly what we did within our research. We would read something, but we would actually kind of stop and be like, actually, I think there's an underlying message. And like the people writing it may not know that that's what they were saying, but once we actually stop, think about it, and decode everything that's being said, you can actually see what's actually being said or the underlying message.
So that's that thing you were talking about, that those implicit messages that are in there.
Yep, because even I know now myself, when I read something, I'm going to probably stop and be like, oh, actually, I think it might be saying this, or mm-hmm. things like that. And so that's a part of, you have to kind of stop and not internalize everything being said.
Mm-hmm. Alfonso, you want to add some of the active things people can do?
Yeah, I just think adding to a part of the calling it what it is, the bias, the prejudice, mm-hmm. like anything like homophobia, xenophobia, I think people should be able to recognize those problems first, and that it's also not as about you as a person. And I think it's also important for us to recognize our implicit biases, not just of mm-hmm. those of our friends and family,
mm-hmm.
Because you might be making those kind of generalizations about other people.
And or even about yourself.
Yeah, about yourself, which also kind of adds to that self-hate, which shouldn't be a part of the bigger picture, the mm-hmm. hate in general. So I would just say to recognize yourself and who you are, your values,
cool.
The values of your culture, and kind of use that as motivation and be able to like self love and
nice
and bring a positive message.
Nice. Boy, that is a theme in the LGBTQ community as well as in other communities who are targeted. That's really important. A word really quickly, what can parents and other people who care about children do to protect them as they hear this rhetoric coming down the pike during the election?
Well, parents can help by telling their children that the U.S. has always been a nation of immigrants. Everybody technically is, unless you're a Native American.
Mm-hmm.
You immigrated here at one point or another. And you can help them know that immigrants have contributed a great deal to the United States, actually. And help children to understand that immigrants help the U.S. economy,
mm-hmm.
Because they really do. And then something else is you can help children to understand that xenophobia is a type of bias And that problem affects immigrants, but it is fundamentally a problem of xenophobic people, not of the immigrants. So it's just very important to keep that open communication with children.
Okay, good. We just have a couple of minutes. Actually, we just have a minute. I'm going to ask each of you to tell me what impact working on this research had on you.
Well, I think the impact it had on me was a very positive one, and because even though I saw this like negative stuff being talked about people in the immigrant and LGBTQ community, I thought it was positive because it kind of gives me motivation because there's still social justice to work on.
Okay, thanks, Alfonso.
I think it has impacted me because, like I said, I now can stop and think about what's actually being said, and that way I don't internalize it and things like that.
Kind of the same thing for me. It's a way for me to understand myself. It kind of helped me understand myself and my community more, and also think about what I'm reading and not really internalizing any of it until I, like, make my own judgment.
Wow, that's great. It's really fascinating to hear the impact of doing research. So many students think research is just boring, and y'all do research that's important. I am really grateful for all of you coming in and talking about your research tonight. It's fascinating. It is important. Thank you to Jessica, Alfonso, and Adriana. And thank you to our Outsources listeners for joining us. Be sure to come back next Monday at 6:30 p.m. to KGNU, where you'll hear another Outsources program. And now, stay tuned for some information about upcoming events that you'll want to know more about. I'm Glenda Russell. Good evening.
And now for a few announcements. On September 28th, Out Boulder will sponsor an LGBT employee resource group mixer. Join others who currently have, or wish they had, LGBT resource groups in their workplaces to connect with each other and with other community organizations. Participants will share information about their groups or their ideas for groups, and then enjoy some time for networking and socializing. That's September 28th, 5:30 to 7 in Boulder. For more information, visit outboulder.org. On Tuesday, October 11th, join Out Boulder County and Under the Sun Eatery and Pizzeria for a special Give Back Tuesday to celebrate National Coming Out Day. Every Tuesday, Under the Sun is donating 10% of sales from 4 to 10 p.m. to a local nonprofit. And on October 11th, they've picked Out Boulder County for this event. Enjoy delicious food and drink, and also support the critical work of Out Boulder County. More information at outboulder.org. On October 15th, Out Front, Denver's LGBT newspaper, and the Denver Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce will host the 5th Annual Power Gala, an expression of gratitude to members of our community who consistently strive to support the movement for equality. This year, it features individuals and organizations in the LGBT business community. The event will include a reception, an auction, awards, live entertainment, and dinner. For more information, visit denverpowergala.com. On Saturday, October 22nd, the GLBT Center of Colorado will host a free family celebration of El Día de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead, a Mexican holiday that focuses on families and friends coming together to remember loved ones who have passed. Join folks at the center for this intergenerational celebration of ancestors, accompanied by traditional food, music, and art. For more information, visit glbtcolorado.org and click on the Families tab. That's our show for tonight. Be sure to join us next week when host Angela Palermo will talk with Dalia Husu, transgender Dominican-born artist, poet, and author, whose recent memoir, I Am Woman, launched her career as an activist and advocate. That's next week, right here on KGNU 88.5, or anytime at kgnu.org/outsources. Hope to see you next week. Good night.